Hello and welcome to another podcast at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Another week of my tunes on Manx Radio. Emphasis on the Manx this week, for sure, because my guest is Phil Gawne. Phil, welcome to my tunes.
More am I.
Kiss now.
Oh, Tammy Brow, I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah. I see Tammy Brow. Yeah. I did some Manx lessons, but I'll gloss over that because I wasn't a very good student. You can ask Adrian, but I did my best.
I'm sure you were marvellous.
No, that is a word not associated with the Manx on me, as we would say. Well. Phil, thank you for coming in. Thank you so much. Now, we can state for the record, you're not standing to be an MHK. You're not standing as a commissioner. So we're quite free to talk about everything.
Yes, I can absolutely put my hand on my heart and say I declare that I do not want to spend the next 4 or 5 years wandering around with a big target on my back saying I'm a politician, complain.
Does it feel a bit like that?
It can do. I mean, that's the element of the job that I think most politicians would say that they least like. And particularly, I think, with the advent of social media, you know, social media has allowed people to express opinions to an extent that they were never able to in the past. You know, opinions suddenly are more important than facts. And that can be a bit of a problem. But most of the time, as a politician, it's just great fun. You are in a privileged position. You have really big decisions to take. So, yeah, there's a lot to be said for it.
When you didn't make it last time you stood, God, I was working up here on election night. You must have been surprised?
Possibly a bit, but I think I'd already switched off from this, I think, probably 2 or 3 years in. Well, into my last term, I was appointed DOI minister, and I had taken the view that I was going to primarily make decisions based on what was right, as in my view, as opposed to what the public might think was right, and not always the same thing. So I'd sort of decided I was on a fairly risky path, you know, effectively taking the public on and saying, no, we're going to crack on, we're going to make things happen here. And of course, in DOI, there's so many areas of policy which are fraught with difficulty, and inevitably things go wrong.
But just 19 votes short, Phil.
Yeah, and actually, I'm so grateful for the 19 people that didn't vote for me in a funny sort of a way. I could never have walked away from politics, but you only realise how all-encompassing a thing like being a minister in the government can be, and indeed even Timald members. It's a full-on. It's not a full-on 9-to-5. 5 days a week job. It's a full on. As soon as you wake up until you fall asleep, and then you probably spend most of the night dreaming about politics. So you know you never switch off. And even on the rare occasion we'd get a summer holiday, the first week was recovering from the adrenaline rush. The second week you'd actually have 3 or 4 days of break, and then you'd start thinking about getting back.
We're going to talk an awful lot more about politics, bits and pieces, over this week. But you were born in the 60s on the Isle of Man. Anyone that knows you at all knows that you are Manx through and through, an ambassador for the culture, for the language, for the place. But the Isle of Man you grew up in is quite different from what we've got now.
Yes, it was quite remarkable, really, because on the one hand you had the dying embers, perhaps, of a culture that had existed in the Isle of Man for hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, the older generations who still remembered quite a lot of the folklore and the language, you know, that they were there. But the island was changing quite a lot, and pop music was starting to become a thing, you know, a few years before I was born. But, you know, the radio started to exist. Manx Radio, of course, was born the year before I was. So
yeah, 1964.
Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, you had this old culture being replaced effectively by a totally different world. And, you know, if you think, even back into my father's time, when my father was born, he lived on a farm which had no electricity, no running water, and no tractor. By the time he was a teenager, I think most of those were there. Remarkable how you can advance from where, effectively, the way things were done hadn't changed for centuries, to within the course of a lifetime, having tractors that you can program from a computer. You don't actually have to be on the tractor, and you know, it's a dramatic change.
Your first piece of music is going to take us back to those days.
Yes, this is an interesting choice. It's one I remember as a small boy. I was very impressed with this, and it's Peter, Paul and Mary Puff the Magic Dragon. And I liked the idea of this magic dragon, and I was very sad for the magic dragon that ultimately at some point that the little boy in the song stopped believing in dragons. And it's a lovely song.
Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. In a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more, and Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
This week on My Tunes here on Manx Radio, as I said yesterday, the emphasis is very much firmly on Manx, because my guest all this week is Phil Gawne. He's been a politician, he's been an activist, and he, above all, is a Manxman. Is that fair?
Yes, it is. I mean, I should say that my mother came from Ashington in the northeast of England, and, you know, I'm as proud of my sort of Northumbrian heritage as I am of the Manx, but obviously I'm much more familiar with the Manx bit because this is where I've spent all my life. And in a way, it's a bit like what we were talking about yesterday. My interest in Manx was seeing a generation that was effectively dying out, and all those traditions and culture and everything that went with them. Some of it was being passed on, but I think even as a young boy, teenager, I'd worked out that there was something fairly dramatic, a big change happening in Manx society.
Well, it obviously affected you a great deal. As many people know, you were an activist as a young man. You ended up in prison.
Yes, yes.
You were kicking against things that were happening here. What was it most of all that you were kicking against?
I think it was that change. The other thing that we should remember was people who worked in the finance sector in the 70s and 80s were readily admit that it was like the Wild West. It wasn't well controlled. There were some fairly dodgy things being done on the Isle of Man in my name as I saw it. And I didn't think that was appropriate or right. The whole thing with the island effectively being available for sale to the highest bidder, it felt like that as a young rebellious youth. And I think it's important to make a stand about things that you care about.
How old were you when you went to prison?
I think I was 23, so not an old man, it's fair to say. Yeah. And perhaps with the benefit of experience, I might have done things differently. But then one of the things about youth is that you haven't got experience, but you have a passion and a desire to make things change. And should you always follow sense and guidance and wisdom of the ancients, or occasionally I think you've got to allow youth to run amok a bit and have the opportunity then to perhaps reflect at a later stage as to whether that was the right thing or the wrong thing to do.
Looking back, if you could have a word with yourself, this is Phil Gawn today, having a word with Phil Gawn then, what would you say to him?
Do you know, I would probably say crack on, because, you know, if you care so much about this issue, you don't really necessarily have the tools to do what you're going to do in a sort of more diplomatic and political way. So yeah, you it's hard to argue against the passion of youth. Clearly, though, I would probably say to myself, it's not a good idea to break the law, because there's a fair chance you're going to get caught and you will suffer the consequences.
Mm. Have things now, let's spool forward to now, in that whole area that you were so passionate against, has it changed for the better?
I think it has. There's a danger that we've become so successful in terms of reviving the fortunes of both the Manx language and Manx culture, Manx heritage indeed, that we seem to have lost that kind of passion and desire from grassroots activists. Everyone now is paid to do the things that the activists used to do. And there is always a danger with that. If it's a job for someone that they're being paid for, it doesn't always be done with the same level of passion as perhaps it would be done if you were, you know, doing it out of a strong belief or a passion for the topic.
We're going to get some Manx Gaelic music on a little later in the week, but you've gone for something, well, akin.
So this is Runrig, and Runrig did something quite remarkable and amazing. It was a group of people, I think from the Western Isles of Scotland, who got together and decided, we speak a different language here. We speak Scottish Gaelic. Why are we listening? All the music we listen to is English language music. Why don't we do something in Gaelic, they thought to themselves. And they did. And it was really good. And they did other songs too in English as well. And it's just fantastic to see the impact they had. You know, the impact in terms of motivating new generations of Scots children to actually then go on to learn the language and be passionate about their language. Really important. So this track is called Himi and Hiaura, I See the Winter. It's quite a sad song. It talks about seasons, but it talks about the effectively someone who had a love, and his love, like, what does it say? I think it says, like the winter wind, the love has blown away.
We're halfway through My Tunes this week on Manx Radio with me, Mark Tiley, and my guest, Phil Gawne. Phil, yesterday had a little bit of run rig on, Scottish Gaelic. And of course, around the area here, we got Irish, we got Welsh, we got Cornish, we got the French, Northern French. How do they all compare, and where are the big similarities with our own Manx Gaelic?
Well, Scottish Gaelic and Manx are the most similar. It's believed that probably around about the sort of Viking times, the there was a kind of a western branch of Gaelic and an eastern branch. The eastern branch, of course, was Manx. There was pockets of Northern Irish from parts of Ulster, and the Scottish Gaelic was obviously spoken in the Western Isles and parts of mainland Scotland, quite significant parts of mainland Scotland. So those are the most similar, the Scottish Gaelic and Manx, but Irish is pretty close.
Music in the Gorn household. For those that don't know, you've been a passionate singer.
Yes, yeah.
For many years.
Of all the things that I've ever done in my life, probably the thing that I have enjoyed the most was being asked as part of the band Skeel to go down to the Lorient Festival in Brittany, where something in the region of 700,000 people turn up over the course of the long week. Turning up with my band and singing in front of thousands of people, and you just think, wow, this is... Wouldn't this be great if you could make your money doing something like this? But yeah, I love singing in Manx. I love singing traditionally, but I also like the idea of the kind of things that Runrig were doing, you know, popularising the language, and it's fun, it's good. And I play the fiddle as well. It was a regular jibe from people in the pub. Oh, I see Gorn's on the fiddle again.
So... on the fiddle, singing, but music throughout the household when you
yes,
were growing up?
Yeah. Again, a very musical household. Certainly, my father was a good singer in his youth. He didn't sing as much as perhaps he might have done. Certainly a good singer, and all the family. He had sufficient numbers of aunts and uncles that they could form two members to each part, an alto, soprano, tenor and bass, so they would regularly sing like that. And then, of course, when we were raising our children, Annie and myself, we sung just about anything, about everything, you know, even, you know, making breakfast. We had songs for every element of breakfast. The poor kids must have been driven mad with us.
I think it's lovely. And I think, although I've only been around on the island living here about 15 years now, I've seen a massive increase in uptake in Manx performance and Manx language generally.
Yes, yeah, and it's certainly picked up in terms of the the professionalism of the music that's produced now. We've got loads of exceptional talent. And, of course, the other element is the Bunscoil Gaeilge,
yeah.
Which, again, I was really passionate about trying to establish this school, and we managed to do it. And now significant numbers of children are coming out of that school, passionate advocates for the culture and language of the Isle of Man, which is fantastic.
And it leads us nicely into today's song as well.
Yeah, there's loads of songs the Mullig Band produced, which I could have picked. I felt as though I ought to go for one in Manx. And actually, this one ties in rather nicely. It's called Lemuel, and it's a song about a couple who are actively engaged in going out to Manx music sessions, performing Manx music, singing Manx music, dancing. It's quite a sad-sounding song, but the words are perhaps less so. Words by Colin Jerry, and the fantastic Mullig Band performed it.
Ligden gilmer en shin roll. tale, just a valley a quip, touch it, vanir a signal. Signed a more mien, brija velesh vin, shinelesh kirim a gillian brow, men in valley a love.
It's the final day of my tunes for this week with my guest Phil Gorn, who is as Manx as the hills, if not more so. But at some stage during your career, in and out of politics and around about, you were in Africa.
Yes, not for lengthy periods of time. I think shorter time than people might have thought. But it was I was chairman of the International Development Committee as well as fisheries minister, and my fisheries director got me interested in this. Basically, the World Bank were looking for some help with Sierra Leone fisheries, and we managed to work a way of getting a redundant patrol boat that we had on the island out to Sierra Leone to help enforce their fisheries. Prior to that, they had little motorboats, probably, what would you say they'd be, about 10-foot, 12-foot motorboat boats to police their 200-mile territorial sea. So you can imagine how difficult that was. So international trawlers were coming in, wiping out all the fish stocks and causing quite a significant problem. 90%, was it, of animal food protein consumed in Sierra Leone came from their artisanal fishery. So when you've got international trawlers coming in and wiping out your fish, that's quite a big issue for them.
It must have been a very rewarding thing to do.
Yeah, it was a fantastic experience, really. I think it's a sort of experience that everybody who lives the privileged life we live in this part of the world really ought to have the opportunity to experience. You know, you hear a lot about poverty, but sometimes it's hard really to understand what that means. It's not about starving. It's not about not having a quality education. It's not about having no electricity or generally a poor choices for life. It's that whole poverty of aspiration. There's no hope for you. You know, that's the bit that really got me.
Could I say poverty of spirit as
Well, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you know that if you work exceptionally hard, the best you can hope for is to scrape by.
Yeah.
It's quite a challenging thing to experience. I was exceptionally lucky to be in a position to help in Sierra Leone with a tiny budget. You know, the amount of money that we spent there was negligible when you look at the overall budget of the Isle of Man government. People often say, well, charity begins at home, and what are they doing spending this money? But you've got to realise as well that if we aren't spending money trying to help developing countries improve, you then have the inevitable consequence, which is economic migrants flooding in, trying to get into places like Europe and then through into the UK and the Isle of Man, which again is something that many people are concerned about. So, you know, either you help address the issues so that people have opportunities and can stay in their own countries if they choose, or you have another problem to deal with.
You mentioned some wonderful things. You've mentioned Africa, you mentioned the setting up of the Bond School. There are so many things that you've achieved through a political world. Now, yes, you're a clerk now on the commissioners, which is fabulous. What do you see looming? If you could, because you're not standing for election, we've qualified that. What's your advice? What do we need to do now in the island?
Well, I think there are two things. I mean, the one thing is to remember that actually community is really, really valuable. And, you know, I've been exceptionally lucky with the commissioners that I'm able to work with. Jane Glover, I know, was on your show, and Jane has done some tremendous work as chair of the commissioners over recent years, as well as all the other wonderful things she does in the community. And actually, on the one hand, you say, oh, well, I'm resigned to the fact that all that exciting stuff I used to do, it's now a different life. And yet, actually, what can be more exciting than helping the community that you are part of? It's an amazing thing to do. And actually, it's probably a more important thing than anything. And I think probably the most important lesson that I would hope members of the new members of the House of Keys will learn is actually trust your communities. Don't assume that you have to have highly paid professionals coming in to do unto the community. Perhaps the community can do self-help if you give it a chance to do so.
Today's tune, we've moved from Scottish Gaelic through Manx Gaelic, and we're sort of touching on the Caribbean here, Phil.
Well, yes and no. I mean, most of the people in the Caribbean came from Africa at different points, and the Africans, particularly the ones in Sierra Leone, many of them had been slaves and were brought back to Africa in the later part of the 19th century. And one of the favourites of some of the older generations in Sierra Leone, certainly, It was Bob Marley, and I look back with fond memories of dancing around in the kitchen to Bob Marley with various people and friends that I acquired in Freetown.
Well, thank you for a great week. Are you really saying never again for standing?
There's a saying, isn't it? Never go back. And I think it's always good. Use the opportunities that come. My wife Annie is a great believer in signs, and things are, you know, if something's happened, it's a sign. Move on to the next exciting project. And I think I've probably got 2 or 3 more exciting projects in me before I spend my life sitting in the garden and looking at the flowers.
Been a fabulous week, Phil Gawne. Thank you.
Goramayad.
Goramayad.
And he was taken from
grateful thanks to Phil Gorn for joining me for another series of My Tunes on Manx Radio. I'm Mark Tiley, and join me if you can for the Shore Morning Show, Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 12.